to America. Welcome to the Dawn War. Our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hock this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hock This Way.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Hop This Way show. It's your favorite Tongue, your favorite Itchy Ungies, favorite Itchy Onions. That's right. You see, it's just a Warrior 3 right now. Matt 2 is going to be joining us in a little bit. He's just caught in traffic. And, of course, a professor, Frank Zhang, is running late. He's got some errands to run, but if he can jump in, he's going to hop in as well. And that's right.
Hop in.
Right? Like how I did that? No, it was complete idiocy and buffoonery that accidentally got us that great pun. But this is a great show for everyone to hop in on, if you will, to keep the pun going. Because, I mean, we've got a great show today. Listen, every week we just keep kind of upping it some more. And this week, I'm telling you, I've got someone I really want to pick their brain about, not only about this character, but about what they think about being on the show, about just how the fans have accepted her. And I mean, what better time than right now than to bring on, you know her as Catherine Archer on Warrior. And we know her as Dominique. Mar, thank you so much, Dom. How are you doing?
Hi. Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. This is so good to have you here. And welcome to our little Tom here.
Oh, well, thank you for the invite.
So, you know, I don't, as, this is the one thing that I absolutely love. We're talking to Dom. We're like, yo, would you like to come on the show? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to come on the show. I've watched the show.
Of course.
You thank guys you are very much. One
of the cheerleaders. Of course, we have to support you as well.
Absolutely. Well, one, thank you so much. Two, what is wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. as we get this show kind of rolling, Dom, for those that maybe don't know that much about your background, give us Dom's origin story. How'd you get into the business, and what led you to where we are now?
Oh, my gosh. I popped out of my mom, and she went, that is an actress. No, I'm not even joking. That's literally what happened. Although my mom is not like one of those stage moms at all, but for some reason she knew. So I've been doing this my whole life. Like, I was in nappy commercials and baby food.
No way.
I kissed my first guy in a nappy commercial. It was another baby. obviously. But yeah, I've been doing this my whole life, and started off in commercials and did a bit of TV, and then transitioned into theater. Oh, while I was still like in primary school, there was a theater company, well, a theater in Johannesburg that did pantomimes, and their leads would obviously be adults, but all of their smaller roles and stuff would be kids. So that is what I would go do. So every second day I'd be pulled out of school because there was two casts, but you couldn't miss all the school. And then just continued from there, and then studied theater and musical theater, and yeah, went down that whole long journey for a long time. And then was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna make the move over to film and series, and have been doing that ever since. I mean, I do jump back into theater every now and then, but it has to be like either a role I really want to play, because they don't pay very well. I mean, I just had to recently turn down a role because I was like, it will be so much fun to do, but I can't pay my bills with this.
And it takes so much of your time as well to do theater, because you've got rehearsals however many times a week. And then it becomes a showtime. That's all you have. So
yeah, and it was happening like now, which is our season time. So I was like, ugh, I have to step away from that to do this. So it's always teetering on that fine line. But if it's a role I'm dying to play, like, I'll be there.
So we've had a lot of the guests and actors that have been on the show with us have mentioned, you know, the theater background, you know, whether it be Patricia and Nick last week. I think Tom even said that as well. What do you attribute that to? Is there that theater kind of feel on set there? Because there is a difference that a lot of people, I guess, wouldn't know, like from theater people to TV.
There is a huge difference just in terms of, you know, if you're on stage, you're getting that immediate response, whereas film, you don't. But it is a different beast unto itself. And I'm just so drawn to it because it's just something that you so technically have to work your way around and try and figure out how to nail this in possibly 1, 2, maybe 3 takes, and how to like know that you've done good enough work that it's, oh, there she is. That it's, you know, that it's going to land. Whereas theater, yes, you get 1 take per night, but you also get it night after night. So you get to go like, oh, that really didn't work. Try this way, you know. They're just two different beasts, and I love them both. But, man, I do love film.
Really, right? Love it. So now, with that being said, what is your process? Does your process change at all from developing your character for a show as opposed to theater?
Well, I think with theater, like, you obviously have way more time. Oh, it just became me. I just talked to myself there for a second. With theater, you have more time, and it's, you know, the rehearsal process is more like a workshopping situation where you can find the character and find how the other actors are forming their characters and then start to like weave it in. Whereas, you know, with film, you're pretty much for the most part working on your own, and then you get to set and then it's like you're with the other actors, they call action, and now everybody brings it to the table. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, my process does change depending on the character and depending on whether it's comedy or drama, or, you know, it always, I think it shifts per character, to be very fair. Yeah.
Sure. Raghu chimes in and says, what was your favorite moment when joining the Warrior Show?
That is a loaded question. My favorite moment when, okay, I'm not actually even going to lie about it. My favorite moment was the tent. That tent. Woo! The tent. The tent. It's called the stunt tent.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, they're all... These photos just keep popping up. Oh, look at them all. Because it's such a huge cast, and obviously a lot of storylines don't interconnect with others, you know, you don't really get a massive opportunity to play with everyone else. Uh-huh. But the tent is where you can meet everybody and also be given the opportunity to work out, and also be given the opportunity to work with like these massive, amazing stunt people that are champions in their specific martial arts. And then they just give you the time of day and teach you stuff. He is insanely good, and he will also make you want to cry because he does not let you surrender, like, and he misses no beats. And he's like, it doesn't matter that you're not doing any kung fu in this show. You will train. If you come to the tent, you will train like everybody else has to train.
Oh, so yeah.
You
can't give up in the middle. You have to go to the end of the training, the exercises and stuff.
The training is amazing, but it is brutal. Like, it is no joke.
I know.
I think the first time I went to the tent, I couldn't walk for like 3 days afterwards.
And isn't
this is
it
why we love Brett?
Isn't it amazing how they are these super martial artists? They can kill anyone, and they are super nice, the nicest. You know, faces,
oh,
they're so cute.
All of them are absolutely amazing. I mean, like, Zen would just be like, okay, you want to learn this? I'll teach you. And I'm like, don't you have stuff to do? And he's like, no, I can show you. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, you really do not have to be showing me any of this, but okay. They're all great.
I've heard that Zen's very supportive in that sense of not making you feel like you cannot do it because you know nothing about that martial art, and he's like the monkey king,
yes,
as he calls himself, and he doesn't make you feel like you're less than him. He's very supportive.
No, not at all. I mean, like, I'm more comfortable with a weapon in my hand, but we fast discovered I'm not great at boxing. And he was just like, no, come, it's fine, I'll teach you. And I was like, I look like an idiot. But he was like, no, anybody can do this. I was like, yeah, you can.
And did you learn? Okay. Did you learn it?
I wasn't amazing. It definitely needs practice. But give me a sword and then I'm more comfortable. But yeah, they're more than generous. They are all wonderful, wonderful to work with.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear. And it stands true from what we know of our limited meetings with them, and especially like Brett's salt of the earth. And he might have you crying for working out, but he's also going to have you crying laughing too.
He is so, so divine. Yeah. And you know, and he really does make a good leader, because everybody just follows what he has to say, and because he shows everyone such respect, like the respect that is given to him. I mean, they are in themselves are like a massive tight family, which is so beautiful to witness.
Yes.
Now we got one more question here. Customs for the Kid says, does she think her character was affiliated with Penny in any way at all? Now let's talk about this character though, because you want to talk about, there are some really, really evil people in some shows, some evil conniving kind of matriarchs, if you will, in shows. And I'm old, so I'm thinking back to like Little House on the Prairie and Nellie's mom, and I am so old.
I'm older than listen. If you're old, I'm ancient. Okay.
Guys, I know what you're talking about. So let's just.
But Miss Archer definitely falls into this line here, and originally, like, we come into this. We all think, as a viewer watching, like, what is her angle she's playing? I feel, at least for me, it got to a certain point in the season. I'm like, oh, she's actually being genuine. And then there's the scene where we think that Buckley is having fun with you, and it is not.
Okay, question. So do you really think she was genuine? No, she was strategizing. Oh, she worked him like a fiddle.
Yeah, and I guess tying that back to the original question, I'm wondering how much of that has to do that you know Penny somehow, or is...
Right.
What is the gameplay here?
You know, the writing, I know you've heard it so many times, but the writing on the show really is genius. Mm. Like, it is perfection. To the point where... as with all of the characters, actually, there are quite a few avenues, at least in my head, there are a few avenues in which Catherine could go down. Which one it's going to be at the end of the day, I don't know. But I love the fact that watching the comments and just hearing.
I love that.
Oh, I'm sorry. For those that are just listening to the podcast, we just put up a BTS or behind the scenes photo of Dom and Langley.
I never saw a cast having so much fun behind the scenes as this one.
Oh man, no, everybody is, I mean, again, you've heard it, but everybody is really, really incredible. But yeah, just quickly going back to, I mean, you saying that at one point she was genuine. You, Stephanie, then saying like, oh, she was strategizing. And then other people saying like, is she affiliated with Penny? That's what I wanted my job to be. I wanted everybody to be going, it's this, it's that, it's that, it's that, it's that. Because she was walking a tightrope. She was playing two sides of the coin. So in certain instances, I wanted you to believe that she was being genuine or go, what is this chick's angle? What is happening here? Because she kind of also just doesn't care out of the blue. She's like, hello, I'm here now. You know, so
yeah.
So that
I know what you need.
Yeah, exactly. What do you need? I have it. Here's my card. So I wanted audiences to be feeling that kind of way, and I think that throughout the journey of season three, people were skeptical, and some people did think it was a real genuine moment, and Buckley was going to have his happy ending. So yeah, at least that was mission accomplished, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking because we got. We were caught by surprise in the end when discovered how she was working, operating Buckley. But at first, we kind of thought she had a genuine interest in him, because there's a line that I have to somehow screen record to post that on Instagram, because that line is just my life. She says that my family obviously wanted me to get married by that time in my age, but I preferred to travel and to know people, and now my options are quite, you know, a widow or some weird man. And when Buckley win the election and become the mayor again, you know, he stands on his position and he arrives home. And I get sticky. We could see in her face that she was enjoying that. And he catches her like very, you know, I don't know how to say
it. Look, whether or not it started out as a play and she has changed her mind, or whether or not she's still playing him. I mean, these are all the beautiful things that are left up to the writers, which is why the story's not done. So go and stream Aria.
Well, that brings us to our next comment. That's perfect, because Heather Gutierrez Pratt, Stephanie's sister, says, we need season 4 just to find out what Catherine has in store for Buckley.
Yes.
Or what happens once Buckley finds out. Because that is going to go nuclear.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't want to speak anything into existence because I'm always, like, so scared of that. But I'm like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I am all for the moment where the explosion happens. Just don't kill me, okay? Yeah. I just survived.
Raghu also says that ending with Dominique's character was a shocker. I didn't see that coming. It was a nice surprise. To which Mike says, Buckley also doesn't deserve nice things. And he loves your character. She, I think, has intelligence mixed with a killer instinct. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love
definitely.
It. Except with my Ling, who knows?
Yeah, and finally, we need to see that storyline continue between Catherine and Buckley. Seriously, what a huge cliffhanger. ending that needs to be resolved. And that's what I love. And you mentioned it earlier, Dom, like the writing on this show, and we say this each and every week to nauseam, but the writing on the show, they do not ignore any characters. Every character has substance. Every character has backstory, and every character potentially could have their own spin off of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, because you've been doing this for a while, you know, and what do you think have you been on other sets like this? Were the writings like that? And if you have, is that kind of like that rarity?
For me, I read a lot of scripts. Like, I'm well read with scripts, and I can very quickly see, like, oof, okay, that moment needs work. Oh, this is great. Or there's a lot of stuff that you read, you're like, okay, who's funding this? you know, but and there are other sets that I've been on where I'm like, yeah, okay, that was great, but this writing, I mean, there wasn't even a question in my mind. Just I immediately understood Catherine, and right. There wasn't a sentence or anything that needed to be changed or shifted. I understood the relationships, like everything just worked so perfectly, even, you know, turning a page and then catching a surprise where you're like, oh, that is genius. So, like, everything about the writing is phenomenal, in my opinion. I think many people.
So are you trying to tell me that you didn't see that same quality of writing on Xenon Z23?
Or? Oh, my God.
What? Was that the cosmic blur? Was that it? You know what's funny? I've been searching all day for a photo of that, and I can't. I even went so far as to watch the movie online just so I can get the screen grab. But it...
Why would you do that to you?
Well, I mean, it was either that or it was I had to show everyone this.
And I thought I just peed. Phil?
No.
Oh.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, so that is actually a character called Kiki.
Kiki.
That I played in Significant Other. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I had to do a deep dive there. So. No, I love it. And what's great though is, so when I was doing my deep dive into kind of your career, and I saw Xenon, and I'm like, oh my God, my oldest daughter, who's 29, used to love those movies, right? So I was like, oh, it's perfect. And then I'm like, looking through, and I'm like, oh my God, you're actually on another show that my son loves. And him and I mean, it was one episode. It was a season premiere, though.
Wow, look at those crazy eyes.
And you got to be with the only female doctor out of the Doctor Who series, the awesome Jodie Whittaker.
Yes, and her and, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget his name now. And I watch him, like, basically every night.
The game show guy.
Yes. Yeah, they are absolutely hysterical. Like, that was also a fun thing to do with them, because they don't take anything seriously. It's great.
Yeah, I don't think you can on that show.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I mean, like, everybody gets down to work, but like in between takes, like everybody's having a big fat laugh. And shame, that was the night, that night that we were filming there, was the night that this giant spider actually landed on Jodie.
Oh.
And she freaked, and she came running out to do a take, and the spider had come from the trees, and it was nighttime, and she didn't know that it was a spider, but she felt like it was a spider, so she freaked out, took her jacket off. Like, she actually talks about it on the Graham Norton show. And she like loses it, and they're like, no, it's fine. It was just a leaf. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I ruined that take. Sorry, sorry. And they actually caught it on camera, and it was this massive spike. That's like, down her neck. Oh, so gross.
So thank you, dude, for the craft. Oh, you have a fellow castmate, Trevor O'Tim. Trev's going to be on the show soon as well. We're looking forward to. Raghu also saying, every character from the major supporting, even the minor characters, all have stakes in Warrior. And I feel this is the first show to highlight the importance of all characters. And I think there's something to be said about that, because on the outside, you know, people looking at this and think, and as they should, you know, this is a strong Asian powerful show, you know, popping up Asians as they should be. But you look at the show, and it's so much more than that. It's that, and it's, you know, it highlights, you know, Blacks at that time, the Irish community. And you come out thinking that they're the bad guys sometimes too, but then, you know, they kind of soften it as well. And this really does hit on all marks.
It absolutely does. I mean, the historical accuracy in so many of the storylines that are still very, very relevant today, which is why I think it plays so well and why I think audiences really enjoy it from all aspects, all walks of life, because it really is speaking to a voice that needs to be heard sometimes, you know? I mean, these things are still very much prevalent today.
Mm.
So all all the character stories, I mean, with you saying that, you know, some don't like the one side or the other, is nobody is intrinsically just straight evil or good. You know, we all have our bad sides and we all have our good sides and we all have things to work on, and we're all just human and trying to figure it out. And at the end of the day, it is a human story, you know?
Very true. Now, Steph, you had a question you were saying.
Well, really along that, you know, line, Dom. So you deliver the American accent fabulously. I mean, just, it was seamless. So were there certain scenes or what you experienced in this storyline that hit home as far as, you know, the reality? You're speaking to it, you know, the writing, the accuracies. Was there a certain point that either enraged you or was enlightening for you, or things that you saw a correlation to, you know, where you're from? You know, I mean, we already spoke to, you know, South Africans that are Chinese, Trevor and his family, and, you know, the similarities. Was there something in this relating to the American story that, you know, really jumped out at you?
Yeah, you know, when you're learning about other historical things that have occurred, you kind of... When I first started watching Warrior, because obviously I loved the show and started watching it the moment it came out, you almost kind of feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so ignorant, because I wasn't aware that this was happening over there. But I'm very aware of what has happened in my country and what we're still processing and working through. But then you start to see the similarities and it starts to hit home a little bit more. And now my sister-in-law is Chinese, and now I have a beautiful nephew who's now half Chinese. And now I feel even more like drawn to the situation and trying to, you know, hold on to that history and nurture it and care for it and respect it, but also try and fight for it to change, you know, because we can't stay stuck in the past in terms of 2024. I mean, in the 1870s, we're still in Warrior Town, so that's a good thing. But, you know, like bringing us forward and coming out of this whole mess. So there's a lot of things that triggered for me, especially that deportation situation. Was like, I was done. I was so done watching that. Sure, that was horrible.
Oh, I mean, and Kenneth? What was Kenneth's name on the
Jacob?
Jacob. The Jacob scene. That scene, well, that still haunts me.
Like, no, it's haunting, but yeah. it's so necessary.
Yes.
To show. It's so necessary. Because we can't just pretend like, oh, this never happened and it hasn't continued to happen on some level, shape, or form. So and that's the beauty about storytelling, you know, because if you just watch something where you felt comfortable the whole time, you would be bored.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The truth is uncomfortable sometimes.
I was going to say, even if you tell the story, but you show it like in a light way, not impactful way,
yeah.
you think it wasn't that hard, you know, it
exactly.
wasn't that serious.
Yeah. So sometimes that's why the show is full of all the emotions, because that's life, you know?
Yeah.
That's life, and that's just the way JT does things.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, on a lighter note, we know there's shenanigans on set. What was like the funniest thing that happened while you were on set, or what, you know, one filming day? What shenanigans? See? I knew it.
Now you're going to solo, Dom. You're going to solo on this one.
You can't, okay, guys, you need to understand, you can't ask me questions like this because I'm the person who's going to tell the truth.
Please do.
But I almost feel like I peel back the curtain then. I'm talking to myself again. It's very strange. we will return at some point. I don't know how technology works. I don't know if I should tell the story because now I'm like ruining the mysteriousness that is cinema. But I'm going to tell it anyway. So it was the scene where Langley has been sworn in. And he comes back to have his fill. And my costume. Like, I mean, the costumes were absolutely amazing. But they were traditional in the sense of many a petticoat and many a this and many a that. So they had added an extra piece of material with a slight tear in it so that Langley could tear, because he didn't want to tear the costume. but once he lifted the skirt, there was just white, and there was that mirror. I just remember looking over, and he's just like, where is it? There was a few moments like that where he was like, I can't find the blooming thing.
And that is why the mirror didn't last.
We need to see the outtake. We need to see the outtake.
Raghu also saying, I think Buckley with teases to his past, you can tell he's a good human being, but somehow, somewhere down the line, he realized he needs to change perspectives. He needs to survive in this tough world. I don't know. He seems so hard.
I feel like it's like that for a lot of the characters, though. You know, I feel like it. I mean, because he did. He has his trauma from the war that he's still very much keeping a secret from everybody.
Yes.
You know, he has that deep trauma sitting there. And I feel like it's like that for a lot of characters. Well, I mean, some more openly than others, where they've all had to go through something and that's what shaped them into how they are now. But again, that's the beauty of the writing. I mean, everybody's so complex. Everybody, their stories have been given enough like breathing room to be fleshed out, and like no one's just a one-dimensional character, you know?
Very true.
Yeah. I've heard Hon in an interview this week saying JT has this rule. There's no good guys and bad guys. everybody has a little bit of both.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see Langley when he washes that red woman.
Redhead.
Mm-hmm. Redhead woman. Yes, his human part is like he's trying to take care of someone because someone took care of him during the war when he lost his leg. And it, obviously, the war traumatizes anyone. Some people can like forget a little bit and go on in life, but some other people don't. They have nightmares every night for the rest of their lives.
No, absolutely. And it's all these little details that people can relate to because you really are showing actual human story here, because that we're all like that. We all have scars. We all have terrible qualities. We all have our good qualities. We all have our insecurities. We all want to love. We all want to be loved. You know, like everybody's just so complex in this, and you can see both what is the word I'm trying to look for here, like the I've lost it. the similarities, you know, within each character you can go like, oh yes, I can be a little bit like that, and yes, I see myself in that moment, or you can go, oh, I know exactly when that person behaves like that. Yeah, that's my aunt from, you know, down the road. Like it's all relatable.
Yeah,
even though it's set in the 1870s, it's all relatable. It's fantastic.
Yeah, not even Assam is perfect. He's completely anti-hero sometimes.
Yeah,
many times.
Sure. We got a couple comments here I just want to get out of the way, because they're not get out of the way, but just to acknowledge them because they are new as well. Gabby Michelle says, hello, everyone. I very much hope you're all doing well. I am so excited to be able to watch this live stream.
Hi, Gabby.
This show is so very human. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, what does that mean, Gabby?
So very human. Yes, we make a lot of mistakes, I think. This show is very human. Gabby has one more comment here. The characters are so fantastically multidimensional. Where we are all multidimensional, and just like the characters in the show, there are facets to ourselves that are there yet unknown to us. Well said.
Well said.
Now, there is one thing that I would like to say. You know, every week we do this show, and when we have a guest on, we like to put them through these long trials, but you know, like Matt's usually here to do that for you, and without Matt,
really, really, really think you are going to go this entire interview and dodge the Tong trial, did you, Dom? Come on.
Yes. Yes, I did. I thought it was going quite well.
No. Just because I'm bare bones right now doesn't mean we still aren't going to do this.
Oh, gosh.
So do you know how the Tong trials go, Dom? You've watched this before.
Yes, and I have questions for your questions.
Yeah. Oh, well, you ask the Tong master there. Tong
trial of my own. Let's go. Why not? I don't care.
Okay, so, no, you need to ask me and then I'll ask you.
Fair. So
okay, good.
I love how you just arrived and now you're just like, I'm just going to decide whether you're in my Tong or not.
Fair enough. Well, for all those, before we get into this, let's do a quick recap on what happened. So with the Tong trials, I ask a series of questions, and you're going to answer them to the best of your ability. And when it's all said and done, we will decide your fate via a thumbs up or a thumbs down on whether you are in or you are casted out, and you actually never make it into the Tong. So far, we've always had 100% success rate, including reinitiations, but there's always a first time for everything. So I ask this after I did a whole quick overview. Dominique, are you ready for the Tong trials?
No, because I feel like it's going to be me. Oh my God.
Don't worry. I will be extremely gentle in the worst possible way. So, being that you are new to the show, you do have an option here. You can either do the original OG.
Being that you are new to the show,
you have
an option.
What was that?
I think that was Rebecca or somebody watching at the same time.
Or you can do this season's Tong Trial. You do have an option on which road you'd like to go.
Okay, so my question is, who's currently in what Tong?
So everybody is part of the Hop This Way Tong. Everybody who has been a guest on this show has been.
But whether they do the old or they new, they're still in the same Tong?
Yes, because a lot of them came in who did it the first time around. I had one version, and then being that, you know, some of the recurring guests that we were going to have, I can't really ask them the same thing because, you know, they already know those answers. They gave those answers. So I had to create a whole new one to, you know, make sure their card is still up to date.
Okay. So everybody's in the same Tong.
Everybody's in the same Tong, despite whichever
road. Except maybe me.
Except maybe you. We don't know yet. We haven't even started.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. This is the problem. I'm like, should we start? Okay. Whatever. It's happening. Let's do the new one. I'm so scared.
The new one.
All
right.
So this is just going to be you guys on camera here. So go ahead, Matt.
Okay. All right. Here we go. First question. Yes. If you had a time machine, would you revisit your past or see your future? And why?
I think I would probably see my future to check if I'm on the right track, since I can't change anything, right?
No.
So I just go and have a look, and if it's not on the right track, then at least I can do something about it in the present.
Yeah. Smart.
Hey. Okay. Next question. Name a cartoon, show, or movie they should never, ever do a reboot or remake of. Like, it was perfect the way it was. They should probably just leave it alone.
Oh, Shawshank Redemption. Yeah.
Oh.
Good answer.
Alone.
Ooh. She's off to a good start. Okay. Next
one. Oh, no, don't say that because it's probably go downhill from here.
You never truly know. Okay, next one. Name a hidden talent of yours that would surprise people.
There's a few bad ones.
This isn't a G-rated show. You're okay.
I will say that I draw and I paint Marvel and manga style stuff.
Oh. Nice.
Wow. Really well. Yeah.
Excellent.
Can I throw on a quick question there, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What's your favorite Marvel character and what's your favorite manga?
I have.
This might really make a break.
My favorite. I love them all. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I have too many.
Okay, the same. Oh,
come on. I could easily pick one. Which one is my favorite child? I'm totally kidding.
This is why his name is Zeus, and we all know how Zeus has been meant to the father. Not the Zeus host one, you know, the other guy. All right, next question. Finish this sentence. Never have I ever blank.
Oh, that's easy. Never have I ever gotten a tattoo.
Ooh, okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's just always been for work, man. Because there's so many. Do you have any tattoos? No.
Oh.
And then it's just easy for the makeup artist to not that I'm saying anybody who has tattoos will not get work. I'm just saying that is still a question that I get asked. So,
hey, I have tattoos and I just kind of get work. Leave me alone. Jesus Christ.
Maybe if you got rid of those tattoos, you wouldn't be trying to get work. You'd be trying
work. That is so not what I meant. I just keep it easy just keep it easy for that question. So yeah, I'm not gotten a tattoo.
Is it one of those that you never were like never just were interested in getting one, or was it kind of like you wanted one but you didn't really know which one you wanted to commit to?
Okay, so here's my thing, right? So the same as the drawing and the painting thing. By the time I'm done with it, I hate it so much, I give it away. I've sold a few, but like I give it away. So my thing is, if I got it, and I probably would love it for a few months, and then I'd be like, I'm so bored of it, I want a different one, and now it's on there. So I probably would spend a lot of money getting one removed to get another one. I might as well just get it. Yeah, and then that's the thing, and they just add them everywhere. And they look good on a lot of people, but I knowing myself, I would get bored of it and then be like, well, now I'm kind of stuck with it. So, yeah.
I respect the answer. I'm completely okay with that. Next question, though. Between breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what is the best meal of the day?
Oh, breakfast.
Yes! Thank God, that is the right answer.
That's two in a row.
That is the right answer.
Is it two in a row? Yay!
So pretty much anybody who said breakfast has been like an automatic yes for me. So So right now I think you're just in solely just on the fact that you said breakfast. Back in school, we always had these like random little award things where it was like, oh, best smile, most likely to, you know, be the person we make fun of on a daily, whatever thing is. If the cast of Warrior gave such an award similar to that, what do you think your reward would be for?
So I would want to say, damn it, I would want to say that it would be something else. But I got added to the Warrior chat the other day, and said, welcome, troublemaker.
You are the most likely to be in trouble. Oh, or cause trouble.
Yeah. And then I did. And then I inadvertently, oh my God, there she is again. and then I did cause trouble the other day. By mistake, technology works. It was a thing. I was asleep. There was a lot of messages. Who is it? Was it? And then I was like, oh my God, it's me. I'm the problem. I'm sorry. So it might be that.
I like she's steadily just increasing the
chance. Oh, thank God.
It's beautiful. Next question. Describe your perfect day off.
My perfect day off is not a day off. My perfect day off is not a day off. Is being on set. Being on the set of Warrior, guys. Season 4. Hey?
I like that. I think you were the second person who's actually said that.
Yeah, I absolutely love what I do. Like, to me, that is a day off. And it's the only time my brain shuts up.
Calm, the peace and quiet.
Yes, yes.
The comforting of a set.
Oh man, love it.
Serenity.
I like it. Let's see, next one. Say we're all out for karaoke. It's your turn. What song are you picking to have the performance of a lifetime? Bonus points if you give us a little sample of what it is.
Okay, so Matt, I have a question for this question. Why are we at a karaoke bar? Whose decision was this?
Thank you.
Number one, I don't know, because I'm probably too much off tequila at the moment to care. And I'm with the decision of whoever thought about it in the first place.
Because I don't karaoke. I don't do it.
You are going to then take, so your answer is you're taking the mic and you're tossing it.
Yes. Yes, I do not karaoke. There is not enough tequila in the world to get me to karaoke.
But didn't you say you did musical theater?
I like this.
Okay, Zeus. Okay, so here is why. I'll be honest, Busted. Harl. If you ask me these questions, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's terrible.
I love it.
I get so nervous to sing in my own voice that I don't want to do it. But if you ask me to sing in a character voice, I'm there. So I will sing if I can alter my voice. If I have to sing in my own voice, I don't know why. I'm just like, no, don't make me go.
I'll pivot to say then, if you could actually switch into, say you had the opportunity to switch your voice with whichever character, which would it be then, if you said?
Which would it be?
Yeah, like what song would it be then? Because you say you would sing not in your...
Oh, not in my voice and still choose a song?
Yeah.
Probably Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Oh, I love it.
And this is why I'll probably... Character?
As what character?
Let's go Cartman.
Oh, damn. Why do I believe that is your spirit animal as well?
Right. Oh my gosh, no.
Sorry, Matt.
Okay. Oh no. I'm jotting notes down. Next question. What is some advice that was given to you that you never forgot?
Where the mind goes, the man follows. So watch what you're thinking.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch your thoughts. It all starts in your thoughts, guys.
Mm-hmm. Manifest.
Good.
I love that.
Next one. Who is the first person you tell anytime you get good news?
I'm going to get into trouble for this. my mother, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Safe answer.
And finally, look at that. You breezed through all this pretty quickly. Final question. If you had a theme song every time you entered a room, what song would play?
Oh, High Hopes, Panic at the Disco.
Nice.
I do like that song.
Okay.
I'm so nervous. Your face is like, I don't know what to think right now.
I think you're doing so well up until the end there.
I'm getting scored. Oh, gosh.
Well, with all that being said, you have concluded your trial. So, Tom, it is that time. We will put our hands in the air. And for our podcast listeners, our hands are in front of the screen right now. We are going to decide Dominique is in or she is out. And was never supposed to be here. In 3, 2, 1, go. With all that said, Dominique, you have passed the tongue trials with flying colors. You are now officially initiated into the tongue. Congratulations! Let's give a round of applause for a new initiate. Yeah!
Speech.
You do that very seriously, Matt. It like made me very nervous.
It's all part of the
bullshit.
It is.
But see,
no, it's fine. It's necessary. It must be done. But I was.
You're the first one with you know qualifying questions.
Right.
First yeah. one. But what? Wait, or clarifying questions. But wait, Let's have a wait. But what? I need clarification, Matt. You're the first one to follow up with that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm that person, unfortunately. I'll be like, why are you asking me this? Everything's why? Why do we need to be at karaoke? Can't we be anywhere else?
You are the troublemaker, is what you're saying.
For all intents and purposes, we're going nowhere else but a karaoke bar. So
okay, well, I'll still be in the back. I'll be cheering you on.
I'll be back there with you. I don't want to hear my voice. I don't. No.
I'll be back there too, but I'm the guy that sings in the crowd and refuses to go up on stage and sit.
Right, we'll all be there together. Yeah. I don't know what's going up, but it's fine. Rebecca?
Sometimes I like to sing.
Great. We will cheer you on.
Gabby says, I'm so happy to see artists being interviewed in the way you do. The atmosphere is so full of warmth, true interest in the person and their thoughts, and gives space for everyone to be their true selves. Oh, thank you, Gabby.
That's so true. Nice.
Are you sure you're talking about our show, Gabby?
Yeah, are you on the right show?
Are you sure?
So sweet.
Gabby, have you been into the happy juice already? No, no, we love you and thank you so much for that. It's so very cool. Honestly, I'm stoked. I'm so happy we had to have you on the show today, Dom. I mean, your character on this show is
thank you, you're such a badass.
Like legit, like on and off the screen, definitely a badass. And now I get to tell not only my daughter that someone from Xenon was on my show, but now I can tell my son, Doctor Who in the house too.
Yeah, Doctor Who. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Warrior's more fun though.
Oh, well, and that's why we know, because we're going to get season 4 coming up. Mm-hmm. Folks, you know what you need to do. You need to use these hashtags. Finish up watching on Netflix. My God, can we talk? The first 2 weeks, it's on Netflix. And it's a top 10 show for the entire 2 weeks. Like, that is amazing. Just fell out of the top 10 in the U.S. now. And, I mean, come on. The only
thing that's got me. It's not even on Netflix, is, you know, in the U.K., in Australia, Canada, in South Africa. So the audience viewership would be even bigger. So everybody keep doing what you've been doing. It really is helping. Since we're not even on every single platform worldwide. So keep streaming, keep double thumbsing up, and tag, oh my gosh, everybody, in all your posts and all your comments, tag Netflix and Netflix Golden.
Yes.
Everybody's making such beautiful posts and leaving these beautiful comments, but I'm like, tag Netflix. Netflix needs to see all of these comments.
Yes.
And get another season.
Get that 4 season. Get us 6 seasons in a movie. That's what we want. That's what we need. Trevor says, Steph knows that karaoke is in my sister's car in Cape Town.
Yes.
We know what we're doing when we go to Cape Town.
So picture me in a car with the O-Tim siblings, and we're singing Duran Duran. I can't. I'm awful. I'm awful. So, yes, I've heard their voices.
Gabby also says, I can see clear as day that Dominique is a very kind and humble person. I'm just a person in the comments, but I hope she knows how good of a heart she has. We can all see it.
Oh, my gosh, Gabby, you are, like, winning hearts here.
Right? Oh, my God. And the last little bit here, because the show's going a little long here. Gabby, for the last time, her acting is so excellent. And she is so versatile and obviously takes on tasks and works that's a challenge for her. This is greatly admirable and not to be underestimated or overlooked. Well said.
Very well said.
Thank you.
So good. So good. I just want to say, Dom, this has been so much fun.
Yes. You're making
a great addition to this talk.
Thank you guys for having me on. It was so much fun. It's really over. Damn. I'm in the tongue now. What are my duties?
You are.
Well, we'll have to discuss that off the air to avoid any implications. Now, is there anywhere people can follow you online, social media, anything like that?
I'm on Instagram, Dominique.Mayer. I am on Facebook, but I don't really use Facebook other than for the groups. So you can follow me on Instagram. I'm not the best social media human being, but I'm trying.
Have fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm totally.
I'm like,
Yeah, she's totally replying the Warrior Max Geek comments that I make, and everybody else is. And she reposts things that we tag her. She's good.
No, I'm good at like posting stuff for a cause, but sure, I'm not like posting stuff about me. I'm like, that's weird. I can't even take a selfie. It's just I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm the same, but I am such a social media whore. It's not even funny.
I am the same, and I completely understand.
Okay, right, good.
Social media whore? Yeah, we know. So we're bringing the show every week, Dom. I'm sure you've watched it before, but we've got a little thing here. When we go out every week. So we start from the right, we work our way to the left, and that's how we say goodbye to everybody. And that's by telling everybody, 1, 2, 3.
Whoop. Let's get
One of these days, I'll nail it. Bye, everyone. Hope you all have a great one, and we will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.